Hi, I'm Henry Ranga, and welcome back to the Critical Grace Theory class. And with me is John from Rwanda. And John, introduce yourself real briefly, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how critical economic theory, critical race theory, and how that worked itself out in the genocide of 1994. So anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, my name is John Gasangwa. I am the founder and the president of Arise Rwanda Ministries, and we run a couple of programs in Rwanda. We support poor communities with, you know, providing clean water, education, microfinance for women, and then we're now building a medical clinic for the community of Boneza, which is in the western part of the country with 26,000 people that have no access to all of these things. So we've been so privileged to be part of what God is doing over there, and I got the privilege to be the founder, and God has done such a tremendous work through that ministry. But anyways, Rwanda had a terrible genocide, as all know, in 1994 with the climax.
Mm-hmm.
So what people don't talk about is the mini genocides that happened in Rwanda prior to 1994.
Okay, so let me try to understand this. So first of all, go back. What set up these divisions? It was really a conflict division that was set up to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, so way back in the late 1800s, you know, Rwanda was colonized by the Germans, as most of the other African countries were being colonized. And then when the Germans lost the First World War early in 1900, Rwanda was given to Belgium.
Okay.
And so, but when Belgians came to Rwanda, they found a huge resistance because Rwanda has the same culture, same language, same people.
Okay. And so really, they were one people.
They were one people.
Oh,
they were one people. And in these one people, there are three economic classes.
Okay, so
economic,
the Belgians
social classes.
Put three economic classes.
Yes, on the people.
Into the culture.
Yes.
Okay.
And why did they do that? Because that was the only way they could do to divide the people and then rule them.
I see.
That's where they're wrong.
So
that's where
the
they're
ruling class, the working class. So they sort of put those economic divisions
together.
Under Rwanda.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so with that, that led to actually starting to identify ourselves more or less, not as Rwandans, but more or less with these races.
So what were they called? They were called
Tutsis,
Hutus,
and Twa.
Twa.
Yes.
What's the Twa?
Twa is the third one, which you would probably call it like pygmies.
Okay.
You know, all of us.
The Aborigines, the original, the natives? Or
I don't
think that way.
Say that way. We say, we all again depend on what kind of work we're doing for the country.
Ah, so like, it was still economic.
Yes. Like,
okay.
Twas lived in, they were mostly doing pottery. You know,
oh, pottery.
Pottery. Which was very key for us.
Yeah.
And then Hutus, we are mostly farmers.
Okay.
And then Tutsis, we are mostly, you know, ranchers or cow people, you know.
Oh,
cows.
Okay.
And so all these things brought together.
Okay.
It wasn't like I'm better than you or you're better than me. No, all this brought together to build the country, the whole country.
Okay.
And so, and then, but the wealth of that time was the cows.
Right.
So everybody worked so hard to get the cows. So you could graduate today from being a farmer to a cows, to having 10 cows. And so everybody who had 10 cows by that time, by the Belgians, he was considered to be a Tutsi.
Oh.
And see? And that's how we got it.
So it was an economic division that ultimately became very much tied to a racial division.
Absolutely.
So then you were, if you were born
identity
this way, they actually had identity cards.
Oh, yeah, from the 1940s, that's when they started issuing us identity cards. Now, they started measuring the nose and, you know, the physical features. It didn't work. So what they did, they divided people according to economics and said, oh, if you have 10 cows, then you're a Tutsi. If you have less cows than you would. If you're farming the land, then, you know, if you're doing poverty,
but
then
you can actually change.
Absolutely.
But in generally, people didn't change as much.
No, they
but
did.
But they got cards and all of that.
Yeah, we did get the cards. And then this went on. And then when they came in, they found a Tutsi king. So they favored the Tutsis because they're the ruling party, right? The ruling clan or whatever.
So not only was it economic, but then it became political.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so they favored the king, and then, but not every Tutsi was favored. There was only the ruling elite, you know. And then finally, when the king decided to say, no, this is not what we want for our country.
Okay.
You know, we want everybody to be inclusive. We are all Rwandans. They killed the king.
Oh.
And then they installed a Hutu president in a republic in 1962.
Okay.
That from the hatred had continued since then. And then 1960, people started killing each other.
I mean, okay, so the genocides, many genocides, already started in
1959.
But it was around critical theory where you create chaos and you get people against each other.
Absolutely.
And then you somehow politically rule by segments against each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this was not only in Rwanda, there's so many parts of Africa, you know, this is what happened. And so that kept on going. So when we got the first independence, the Belgians left.
So what year was that?
1962.
Okay, so 1962.
We're getting independence on the papers.
Okay.
But then they leave a huge mess of Rwandan leaders that already had the ideology of we're not Rwandans anymore.
Oh.
You know, you were Hutu, I'm a Tutsi.
I see.
You know?
So now a society is divided.
Yes.
And the political leaders are ruling through that division.
Absolutely. And then now the Belgians leave.
Okay.
And then the French take over.
Okay.
And they never stopped that or helped us to stop that. They actually, you know, encouraged it through the leadership that was there.
Okay.
And so 1960, my family kicked out of Rwanda because they are Tutsis.
Oh.
The first violence happens from 1959 to 64.
So you're actually, were not born.
No, I wasn't.
You were born
in Uganda. In the Republic of
Uganda. And Uganda had their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Uganda, so you were raised in a lot of
turmoil. Oh, yeah. So most of the people were left to Rwanda. They went to Kenya. They went to Congo. They went to Uganda, Tanzania. And they all had their own differences.
Okay.
You know, they had up to now.
Okay.
And it's still really, you know.
Okay, so then fast forward, we're getting toward 1994.
Yes.
So what led to the mass genocide? Was that over a million people
killed? So in the early 1970s and 80s, this was going on. You know, from 73 there was a coup d'état.
Okay.
By the president who died in the plane, 1994.
Okay.
And he promised to bring peace.
Okay.
To unite the people, to let the refugees who had left the country
to come back. Okay.
He didn't do any of that.
Okay.
Actually, they all pressed more Tutsis, and they kicked them out of government offices.
Okay.
You couldn't go to school as a Tutsi.
Okay.
You couldn't do a business
so
there.
So it turns out by the 1990s that the divisions, the conflict theory, the creating chaos and using racial lines at this point.
Yes.
We're starting to create, like, you could have a job, you couldn't have
a
job,
all
of that.
You couldn't move to and live in this part of the country.
Okay.
Because then, this time we had national identity cards.
Okay.
That showed us you were Tutsi, you were Hutu, you were Twa.
Right.
I mean, that's how the government issued them. So you could not. It was very, very intense. And so then with that, the pressure started to mount. For this government, by the international community, you gotta let people in.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "No, Rwanda is a glass full of water.
Okay.
If you pour more water, it's gonna spill.
Yeah.
So we don't want people to come back to.
Right.
I mean, you're denying the rights of the people to come back.
Yeah,
and even those who were in Rwanda didn't have access to all of these rights to those people.
Right.
So finally, they said, you know, we had to, the refugees out of Rwanda, they organized themselves because they wanted a political way to come back, and they couldn't get that. So the only way was to fight and come back and take over the government that was dictatorial and was doing a genocide, was planning a genocide. But people got to know that the ideology of the genocide was planted way back.
So let's pivot there.
Yeah.
So what really, this is a class on critical grace theory where we see the role of God in the hearts of people, in the hearts of a society.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that structure or even the race itself was elevated to a God? Or was God taken out of the equation in that whole time? Where did that division, what was, in your opinion, where was that spiritual trouble there?
Where did it come from, or how?
Or how did it function? Where did it come from? You know, like reflect on, again, this class is critical grace theory, where we see that God created the heavens and earth,
absolutely,
male and female, image bearers.
Yes.
We're all.
I think what generation. Really happened was we got God out of the equation.
Okay.
Right. So when the Belgians came in, when the French came in, they, because Rwandans believed in God, the ultimate God.
Yeah.
And so we got God out of it.
Oh, okay. Somehow God got out of that equation.
Yes. And so we are just having this our own government leading ourselves and by all these European powers, but there was no God in all of this.
Okay.
Even the God that was there was much more of a legalistic.
Oh, okay.
Right? There was no grace.
I see.
There was no understanding of grace. There was no salvation. There was no knowing Jesus.
There was there was churches.
Religion.
Religion.
There was religion.
But not grace.
No.
Not relationship.
No.
Not a worldview with a living God.
And I want to say like 95% of people were Catholics.
Okay.
You know? And so, but there was, no, it was just religion.
Religion.
And actually, if we had grace and Jesus in our country, a genocide wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
But it had religion. So, at some point, I think that God was out of the equation.
Okay. So, what was elevated instead of God?
Oh, you know, tribe. Ethnicity, you know.
Right.
You know, individuals right. out of, and you know, we started seeing this government that was actually in power, and people started seeing the president as their own God instead of seeing, and they called him the father of the country, you know, like,
okay.
you know,
like
was
the Pope of the
Pope
country,
of the, country
religious,
the God.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's what happened until 1994 when the climax happened. And
okay, so this massacre occurs, this genocide occurs, largely ignored by much of the world.
Uh-huh.
But then all of this, the aftermath, mm-hmm. and somehow God shows up in this country now,
mm-hmm.
and you are now one people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've taken race off the throne,
mm-hmm.
and God is more on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Well, first of all, I think after the genocide, people have to know the context that we lost 1 million people
yes.
in only 100 days. It was the fastest genocide in the history of mankind. And very interestingly, this genocide was done by Rwandans.
Right.
So, you know, so a brother would turn and kill a brother. A husband would turn and kill a wife. And the wife would turn and kill the children. And so, but this
over
was,
these racial
absolutely,
divisions.
Absolutely, that had been mounting for several decades. And then, very interestingly, is the world just stood by when this was happening.
Yes.
You know, we take the blame as Rwandans ourselves
yes, yeah.
for doing that, but also the world just stood by.
Right.
And so, there was no win-win.
No.
Right after the genocide, all of us were impacted. You know, you have 10,000 men incarcerated in jails and prisons
right.
because of their role in the genocide.
Yeah.
And you have we have this country that is torn apart, and in a matter of fact, the UN that was supposed to protect it or stop the genocide, they're calling it a failed state.
Yeah.
So what do you do with all of that?
Yeah.
What we did as Rwandans, we said, how did we live before?
Yeah. Oh, before these artificial
yes.
racial divisions.
Yes. How did we live?
Right.
How did we live? So we went
it was
back.
Not the color of your
no.
skin or the what your name was on a car. It was because, as Martin Luther King, yep. you're judged by the quality of
exactly.
your character.
Exactly. I am a Rwandan.
That's grace.
Yeah, that's grace. I am a Rwandan.
Right.
I am not a Tutsi. I'm not a Hutu. I am a Rwandan. And yeah. that's how I want to see myself. And
yes.
I want. That's what I want you to see myself.
Right.
So we went back to the fundamentals.
Right.
Way back. How did we live?
Right.
How did we solve the conflict?
Right.
When right. God created this country of Rwanda,
right.
what were the fundamentals? What yeah. what did he intend for us?
Right.
So we went back, way back,
right.
and started from there.
Wow.
How did we solve conflict before
right.
the courts? Because it would have taken 200 years
yeah.
to try every single suspect.
Yeah.
And so we aimed at giving justice as we aim to give grace,
yes.
forgiveness, and yes. reconciliation.
So there's a lot of forgiveness that
yes.
needs to happen. And there's where the resources of God are essential.
Absolutely.
I mean, the essence, God gives his son, his mm-hmm. son lays down his life
yes.
and takes his sin.
Absolutely.
In a sense, that's the essence of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And your country is a study of grace.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell America that, you know, every time I come here, I've been so privileged to come here, but, you know, for the last 10 years, And I'm married to a beautiful American wife here. But I call this country my second home. You know, America has given me so much in terms of education and supporting Rwanda. And on top of even the genocide that happened in Rwanda, this is America was the first country to come and get us off our feet.
Nice.
So we should.
So on the principles of Martin Luther King, that, you know, in a sense, we're all children of God.
Yes.
And the vision is that we are made in His image.
Mm-hmm.
We are, even as a people, I know at Christian Leaders Institute, you know, anybody should have the opportunity for education.
Yes.
There should not be the haves and the have-nots.
No.
There should be.
No.
You know, and I even get troubled that for us it still takes an internet connection. That's like a little bit of a, but you know what? We're moving in the direction. Because the internet's all over the world, and somehow anyone has an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example, just specific. Before the genocide, before 1994, the first University of Rwanda was created in 1963.
Okay.
And so from 1963 to 1994, we only had 3,000 graduates.
Okay.
The Hutus. What happened? Tutus were not allowed to go to the universities. And even some Hutus who are not from the elite or ruling class, if you wish, they're not going there.
Right.
So what happened was, when you bring back God, when you bring reconciliation, when you bring forgiveness, and say we are all one.
Critical grace theory.
Yes. So we opened up, and every year we are graduating 10,000 college graduates from the university.
Wow.
And we don't. Now let me give you another example. I get a privilege to serve with 50 staff members in the Res Rwanda Ministries. I have no idea where if they are Tutsis or Hutus.
Yeah.
No.
Right. It doesn't matter.
It
does not matter.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. They don't know.
In fact, in some ways it must seem a little bit strange to look back that it is possible that before 1994, that was such a big deal.
We are ashamed of it.
Right.
We are ashamed of it. Like, how did we let the devil or Satan take over this?
Right.
How did we, you know, leave God or take God out of this? Because when God created us,
right,
in His own loving image,
right,
we're all the same.
Right. I mean, we're the same. We have the same hands.
Yeah.
We have the same blood.
And I like it.
And we are all together.
And then we label ourselves, you know, you guys label yourselves with, you know, white. This is not a white skin. I'm not black.
Right.
So I don't even know how to get all these things.
Right.
You know, just call me John. Call me Henry.
Call me Henry.
My brother in Christ.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
If you're an American, that's okay. I'm Rwandan.
Yeah. And we're all human.
Yes.
And we're all image bearers of God. Well, I thank you for the time we had, and I'm excited about your ministry, excited about what you're doing in Rwanda, and we're all together on the same path, in the same mission.
And actually in Rwanda we say, Turikumwe, we are together. That's a word that we adopted, two words after the genocide, and one of them is Komera, be strong.
Be strong.
Be strong, Komera. And then the second one is Turikumwe, we are together in this.
Yes.
So
we are together.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
What a beautiful opportunity we had to just reflect upon the glory of God and critical grace theory as it looks at how humans, through sin, muck things up, and then one team wins and tries to go after another team. But there is only one team.
Yes.
We are children of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.